So we are back for another episode, which I have no idea what the hell is going on. That's all I can say. And we're just going to get right into it. So AEW Dynamite started out with the WrestleMania Part 3. Yes, WrestleMania Part 3, which was a Samoan named Joe versus a Rhodes. Perfectly placed, right?
Right.
And the funny part, it was supposed to be the first match, air quotes, because Joe comes out and Joe gets attacked by Swerve. And Swerve beats the shit out of Joe. Like, Swerve fucked Joe up. And the match was off. They were like, nah, we're not doing the match. It was like, oh, okay. And apparently they said, like, somehow throughout the rest of the night, they were like, yeah, no, the match is still on. Like, oh, okay, cool. Because that was the first thing that happened. So they was like, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Oh, we're going to go to the next match. And the next match was Penta versus Edge. But before that, I forgot to say that they showed the video package for the best friends. And Trent Beretta walked past Chris Statlander and whispered something in her ear. What do you think he whispered in her ear?
I have no idea. That happened that night. I believe I said it on the podcast. I'm not sure. I may have told you, like, off the podcast. I think they cut it off a little bit. Like, she just had a face. Like, what the fuck? So, like, I had the slightest idea, but she's going to turn on Willow, so she might join him. So.
Yes. So, this Edge versus Penta match, how did you feel about this Edge versus Penta match?
It was good at first, but then, like, halfway through, Edge, like, seemed really gassed and whatnot. So, I don't know. Like, they need to, like, book him differently, I think. Have shorter matches, because he was gassed as shit.
Because this was probably, like, a 20-minute match. This was, like, 20. This went, like, 20 mm-hmm. minutes. And they were calling for the 30-minute thing where you're like, oh, shit, it's going to be over. And the time limit draw, but Edge pulled out the win, and he got the win. So, you know, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, right after he got the win, though, that's where shit went off the rails, where you're like, oh, shit, like, this is crazy. Because the lights go out. And then all of a sudden, they come back on. I think this was a fuck-up. Like, I'm not going to lie. I think this was a complete fuck-up by AEW, like, video people. I swear this is a fuck-up because you see Julia Hart, but you also see Brody King at the same exact time. Like, you see both of them. And then they just, like, switch, like, oh, shit. Like, we wasn't supposed to show Brody King. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think it was supposed to happen like that.
Like, he was supposed to be, like, a surprise. Like, oh, shit, he's there. Like, but, like, you clearly see both of them at first.
Yeah, it was so weird because, like, that happened. And then Willow came down. And Willow came down, and she attacked Julia Hart. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, that's setting up for that. But then we get, like, this stare down between Willow and Brody King. I'm like, oh, all right.
Like, was he really going to hit her? Like, what the fuck?
No, I don't think he was going to hit her, but it was just, like, really, like, it was just really funny that, like, they stood in front of each other. It was like, oh, okay, cool. That was a thing. But, yeah, like, that was that. And then we had...
What if he would have tried it? He would have beat his ass, though.
Oh, that would have been fucking hilarious. So, then we had a backstage with Rene Paquette and Chris Jericho, Hook, and Shibata. And they were getting ready for the sixth man. And Jericho is like full on asshole heel. He's like, you guys just do what I say. He's like, if you listen to me, we'll be able to beat Shane Taylor Promotions and I'll handle this person and you guys do this and this and that. And like, I'm like, dude, he's like full on just like an asshole heel. Like, oh, okay.
Yep.
And then, like, Shibata was just, like, doing the translator thing. It was like, what's this guy's deal? Like, and Hook was like, no, don't worry. I got this. So then we had the Edge and Chris. I mean, not Edge and Christian. Edge, and he was talking to his partners, which is Mark Briscoe and Eddie Kingston. So he's talking to both of them. And then Willow comes up, and Stokely Hathaway goes, I know it would be good if we have next week, it's going to be Willow versus Edge for the TNT title. And they both like, no, that's not going to happen. No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So so they wound up going, okay, we're going to have a mixed tag match. It's going to be Willow and Edge versus Julia Hart and Brody King. It's like, okay. I'm like, all right, I'm not mad at that. I'm like, sure. Fine.
The bad part is now I kind of want Willow versus Edge.
I mean, that would be okay. So yeah. Then we have the next thing. And I'm going to get your opinion on what this thing was after we just talk about it, but we have to talk about it. So we have Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, okay. And they're in the back. And they're talking, and they say, listen, we're going to show you a video, and it has the impact on FTR versus the Young Bucks. And we have to bring you all the way back to London in the biggest show in company history, and whoever wins this would be the best tag team in the world. But before we get to that, we had an incident that was between a scapegoat, the lovable kid, Jack Perry. And remember, if you have a problem with Jack Perry, then I have a problem with you. Which was a line that CM Punk said when he first got there. And he was talking to Jack Perry. And then he said, and the other guy, we're not even going to mention his name. And then they said, they just started talking shit. And he goes, I think it was FTR's fault. FTR did this to get us out of our game. And Nick Jackson goes, dude, no, Matt Jackson. I don't know which one is which. I don't really don't care either. But Matt goes,
it doesn't matter at this point.
Matt goes, no, that's a rumor. He's like, you can't start rumors like that and just go out and blast somebody on a publication for no reason without actual statements. You can't do things like that. And he said, this incident, we had to put on our EVP hats, and it took us out of our game, and we couldn't even get into our thing. We didn't even pray before this because we were so messed up because we had to do this, and that's why FTR won. And so, you know what? We're just going to roll this footage. And they did not do what they said they were going to do. They actually did it. They rolled the footage. They rolled the footage on Jack Perry and CM Punk. They showed exactly what happened. And before all of them saying anything, before they said anything, you see the commentary table and you see Tony Schiavone. Like, you see Excalibur and you see Taz, and they're just like looking regular. Tony Schiavone is already looking down with his head, like hand on his head, just looking down. This is before anything even happened. He just has his head down like, I know we're not about to do this. And they did it. They did it. They played this footage. And then the Young Bucks said, listen, we're going to beat FTR because you're not going to have us off of our game. And we're going to get you. And Matt had on a scapegoat shirt, and if nobody caught that, like, that's what was happening. And then they cut back and they show the commentary table was like, well, that was something. And you see Tony Schiavone with his hands together and he's just looking like, we are so fucked. That's exactly how he's looking. Like, there's not even a not. Yeah. He's looking like, we are so fucked. So I know people are waiting for the breakdown. So you go first. What are your thoughts on this before I give my take?
It was more or less exactly what Punk said. Like, I I don't care. I just find it hilarious. Like, right there, they embarrassed themselves. You know what I mean? He choked them, like he said. He choked them a little bit. What else? You know, nothing really else you can say. You'll say it more in detail. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm not the detail guy. I didn't care about this whatsoever. I wish they would have had more comedy or something. Like, I wish it wasn't exactly that.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like this was a dumbass move. This whole entire thing was a dumbass move. And the bad part about it is Tony Khan, the day before, literally said, well, this is going to have effect on FTR and the Young Bucks, but this is basically for ratings. I'm basically doing this for ratings. He literally said it out of his mouth. He didn't, like, mince words and say, no, I'm not doing this for this. I'm doing this for ratings. And that right there should tell you everything that you need to know, because their ratings have been falling for the last couple of weeks. And he's like, no, I'm doing this for ratings. He literally said that out of his mouth. And some people took it as, oh, because I've seen somebody on Twitter literally go, this whole thing is because the EVPs are like toxic. They're supposed to be like toxic EVPs, and they're trying to make this an unsafe workplace. And, like, that's their thing. Like, you guys are, like, I feel like I'm crazy because, like, this is their character, and this is what they're supposed to be doing. And I'm like, you're making leaps of logic right now. You're making leaps of logic of what's going on. Yes, they are supposed to be bad EVPs. That's the shit that they're doing. This isolated incident has nothing to do with what you think is going on. But you, I can understand where you're coming from saying that you think that you're crazy because you feel like this is part of their character. This is not part of their character. This was literally outside of their character. This was literally shoehorned in because Tony Khan was mad at what CM Punk said on not a WWE program, but a fucking podcast. A fucking podcast with Ariel Helwani that had nothing to do with what WWE was doing. And I'm going to talk about some more shit that they just fucking ran off with. It had nothing to do with nothing. So you shoehorning this in and making the Bucks be technically the guys that did it, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. It is the stupidest thing because there was no reason for this. This did not do anything for them. And I, like I said, I understand that you see this and you're like, oh, it's their character. It's their character. No. The reason that you're saying it's their character is because you want to be believing in what they're doing. You want to believe that the Young Bucks in AEW are on the up and up and they're doing the right thing. And this is like, you guys are crazy. Like, the internet is crazy. Like, Twitter is crazy. Like, you guys don't know and understand. You're not getting this. Like, this is all a game. Like, see, this is why AEW is so much better. It's not. Like, you are jumping, doing leaps of logic because you want this to be a thing. This is not a thing. This was a reactionary move. Now, when you have every one of your journalists that have literally been by your side say, this was a dumbass move, I would never done this. You have every wrestling journalist going, I'm going to wait until they play the footage. Once they play the footage, was like, they shouldn't have played the footage. Because everyone knew this was not the right move. This was just a reactionary move from Tony Khan saying, I want to do this. I want to get my side of the story out. Look, here you go. That shit happened 8 months ago. And I know people are like, well, Punk did it on WWE television. I hate everyone on Twitter that has been saying that. Everyone on Twitter that says, oh, Punk did it on WWE television. Punk did that in an interview that had nothing to do with WWE. It was on Ariel Helwani's TV. The fact that you picked it up off of the internet and said, oh, WWE did this. No, that's not a thing. It was never a WWE thing. It wasn't affiliated with WWE. It just happened to happen during WrestleMania week. It had nothing to do with WWE. So you saying, oh, well, WWE's been taking shots at them all week. Technically, yes, they have been taking shots at them. Technically, no, because they have never once on WWE television last week or this week said anything openly about AEW. And I know somebody's going to be like, well, they said this and that. Go back, watch every episode of Raw, SmackDown, NXT last week, this week. You will never hear them say anything or make an innuendo to them on television. The one innuendo that was made by Pat McAfee on television, that was once, and that was 2 weeks ago. Now, everything that you have heard that has been said about AEW, yes, there were things said about AEW. They were said on podcasts and shows outside of WWE. So stop saying that WWE took all the shots at them and this is their retaliation. Don't they have a chance to answer for themselves for something like this? No, because it wasn't on television. This was on your television show. This literally was on your television show. You showed exactly what Punk said on television. You just said, oh, he made this up. And you just showed it, and everybody goes, well, that's exactly what he said. Like, there's no difference here. Yeah, no. But look, he did this. There's no difference there. Like, he literally said this. And I've seen people go, oh, he is an aggressor. He's angry. Dude, he even said that Chael Sonnen said, when someone gets in your face, you react. My grandmother used to have a saying when I was little going to fucking school. She used to have a saying, never let no one get in your face. You go off and on. You off your ass and on your feet. That's what my grandmother said. My grandmother said that when I was little, that you never let anyone get in your face. If they're coming to you with a problem, never let them get in your face. Fuck them up. That's exactly what happened. I've never, since I was little, let anybody get in my face when they brought a confrontation to me. And the way that Punk reacted, and people are like, oh, he's the aggressor. No, he's not. Jack Perry should have never came to him saying whatever the fuck he said to him. We can hear it. Jack Perry came to him, got in his face, and Punk was like, nah, fuck that. And when Punk pushed him the first time, that was it. It was like, all right, if you don't move the fuck out of my way, it's going to escalate more. Jack Perry was like, oh, you pushed me. Now I'm going to go back at you. And then that's where the scuffle started. But like I said, you don't let nobody get in your face. And I love the fact that a lot of people who've never had a fight or never been into any confrontational situations have been like, oh, yeah, no, Punk was an aggressor. And I seen everybody that have been in a fight was like, dog, if you're saying that Punk was an aggressor, you're an idiot. He literally reacted to that guy getting in his face. When he came to him, Punk gave him a second to back up. They kept jawjacking. There you go. The fight started. That's exactly what happened. So I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm not even going to say I'm crazy because I see everybody who agrees with me and is like, no, there was nothing wrong there. Like, there was nothing wrong there. Nothing happened. And this just makes AEW feel like they're very vindictive. And like, that's really dumb. And I know people are like, oh, now you're just going to shit on AEW. Well, go back to last week when fucking Edge said, yo, I want there to be peace. Let's get over this bullshit. And this is all positivity. Then fast forward back to this week and go, oh, this is nothing but negativity. Are you fucking serious? Like, you can't tell me that this wasn't just like Tony being angry and was like, nah, I need to do this. And then Dave Meltzer, after this all came out, goes, oh, the Young Bucks wasn't fine with this. Even somebody else was like, oh, the Young Bucks wasn't fine with this. Sean Ross Sapp reported, he came out, because this guy actually knows what's going on. He came out and was like, nah, that's not what happened. The Young Bucks was down for this. They wanted this shown. They helped put together the segment. They were down for this. And Tony actually talked to FTR, and FTR was like, yo, as long as this gets us like into our match, like I don't really care. And FTR are still cool with Punk. Like, they're still like friends. They're still close friends with Punk. After this, they're still friends. And he was like, nah, this just works for the match. Like, I guess I don't care. So everybody's like, oh, the Bucks had nothing to do with it. No, they did. They literally was like, no, let's do it. Like, I agree, Tony. Let's go. And it's like, it's petty. They even tweeted out EV Petty. And like I said, people think that this is just like part of their gimmick. This was not part of their gimmick. This one isolated incident. Everything else, yes. This one isolated incident, no. This was Tony Khan's repercussion for the CM Punk thing. That's why Tony Schiavone was sitting there the way he was sitting there, and I feel bad for him. I feel bad for Chris Hero, who broke up the fight and then immediately put his hands over his head like, fuck, like this is a bad thing. I feel bad for them, and they said that the whole locker room backstage had like a little down, like, damn, like this is kind of fucked. Because they don't want this. They just want to wrestle. They're like, no, we want to do our thing. We want to have fun. We want to, like, we just want to wrestle. We don't want the drama. Like, Punk is over there. He's doing his thing over the fuck there. He has nothing to do with us. Leave this shit the fuck alone. The only thing that's going to come out this is Jack Perry coming back to screw over FTR and join with the Young Bucks. That's the only thing that's coming out of this. And none of that still makes sense of any of this fight. This whole entire fight has nothing to do with anything. This is 8 months after everything is over. Punk's in WWE. He's not coming back to AEW. It's not happening. There's nothing that's connecting these two. It's just like, oh, but Jack Perry's coming back. And it's like, but this whole thing is dumb. Like, it's really fucking dumb. Like, you could have brought Jack Perry back without even mentioning any of this and just moved on. And that brings me to the next thing that happened. FTR's music hits right after this is all done. And Excalibur goes, this isn't on my run sheet. And the first thing that popped in my mind was like, the last time I heard that was in fucking WCW. Like, holy shit. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, WCW shit is like, when people are online talking about, oh, this is WCW in 2000s, some of them kind of remember this, but this used to be a thing when, like, they do some dumbass angle, somebody comes out and be like, this wasn't on my run sheet. Ha! Like, what is this person doing here? That's exactly what they did when FTR came out. And FTR put it very precisely as soon as they walked out and said, dude, enough of this. Like, can we just move the fuck on and get on with our, like, careers? Like, just leave this alone. Like, Rod and Todd Flanders are mad that we beat them and they're trying to do some stuff. And it was funny because he had on a Bart Simpson shirt. And he was like, yo, can we just move the fuck on? And then Dax was like, he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to wrestle. He was like, this is how I feed my family. He was like, I love this. And this is a thing. Because if it wasn't, like, you know what? I'm just going to give some credit to the Young Bucks, because if it wasn't for them, I'd be shaving this guy's back somewhere. And the funny part about that is, like, people immediately was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Even the hardcore of hardcore AEW fans was like, well, I mean, technically the guy that was there died, so that's not the same guy there, and I don't think that would be happening now, because that dumb shit doesn't happen now. So, I mean, it wouldn't happen now. So, it's just, like, it was so, like, it pissed me off so bad that they showed the footage. It was so dumb. It was a dumbass thing. Did they pop a rating? Kind of. Not really. They kind of popped a rating. Not really. And then, if you look on YouTube, like, the dislikes for this compared to the likes, they had, like, 30,000 dislikes compared to 4,000 likes. And it's like, no one liked this. Like, there was no reason for this. None of this, there was no reason. We could have just moved on. We could have been fine. This was just very odd. This was very odd. It was very dumb. I don't think they should have did it. Like, it wasn't like Punk was on WWE television saying, oh yeah, like, I did all this, fuck this. It was on the fucking internet, dude. Please, like, leave this alone. Like, I hope this is the last time and they never do no dumb shit like this and they just move on.
They will.
So then we have a Bryan Danielson package and he's getting ready for his match with Will Ospreay. And then Will Ospreay, okay. Once again, this is wild. Because Will Ospreay, first off, people are going to be like, what, he can't respond? First off, I have respect for Will Ospreay. I have a lot of respect for Will Ospreay. Him responding the way he responded was corny and played out, and it was dumb. The way that he responded was corny, played out, and dumb. Now, he went over, like, because I've heard – from Sean Ross said that Will Ospreay went over this promo earlier in the fucking day. He went over this promo earlier in the day multiple times just to get this right. Now, I'm going to tell him this is what he should have said. He should have said, because this is a reference to what happened on a Pat McAfee show with Triple H, not WWE television, the fucking Pat McAfee show. If I was him, I would have been like, the grind? I don't respect the grind. He was like, you know what, bruv? I've been grinding my whole life. I've been doing this. I've been doing that. I've been going here. I've been going there. I've been grinding my ass off. You couldn't handle this grind, so you should be able to sit back there and just bitch about me. Like, that would have been fine. I'd have been like, you know what? That was it. Like, that was it. Like, that's the shot. Instead, he goes with the fucking worst line that, and I know people are like, oh, man, it wasn't that bad. It's the worst line because it was so bad because Renee Young even put down her head, was like, damn, that kind of sucked. Because he said,
you noticed like, that too.
He was like, yeah. he was like, Mike, he was like, you're grinding. He was like, the only thing you're good for is grinding on the boss's daughter. And it's like, dog, like, no one uses that anymore. And also, the boss is dead. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and I have not heard one positive person go, yeah, that was the line. Everyone was like, that would have worked back in 2001 or something, but like, they're happily married. They got kids. He's, like, he didn't inherit this by grinding on the boss's daughter. He literally just looked into this spot because he's really fucking good at what he did. Like, no one's mad. Like, if WWE sucked, I'd be like, you know what? Like, yeah. Like, it was a shot. It sucked, but like, I mean, this one is like WWE's on fire. Like, you're not saying anything that's making us go, oh my God, this is so... Dude, like, you taking that shot, like, you should have said something else. And he said, don't throw rocks at an assassin with a machine gun. And it's like, you and Triple H are not having a match. Like, none of this is, like, building up for a match. Like, so you just shooting at this dude that said something on a podcast mean nothing. If Will would have went on...
And that's like, the main part.
Uh-huh.
No, I was going to say, that's the main part. Like, all this pettiness going, like, against the other company... You're not going to accomplish nothing. Like, what do you want? A forbidden door, you versus WWE? I don't foresee that happening, especially with them being petty. You know, like, you're not doing nothing, so just leave it alone.
Like, this is so... Like I said, I would have been all for him saying, like, taking shots at Triple H on a podcast or, like, just retorting and saying, listen, I've done this, I've done that, so who are you to tell me that I don't respect the grind? Because I didn't want to go there. It's like, bubble. You saying that on a podcast, I'd have been like, yes, Will. Like, yes, that makes sense. You just talking about him grinding on his wife and getting his job, it's like, come on, Will. Like, that's so outdated. Everyone is like, dog, that's, like, dumb. Like, and I collectively heard a groan from Twitter, and Twitter is literally just words. Like, when that happened, I heard a groan, and I'm like, yeah, like, it didn't work. Like, it didn't work. And, like, it just, like, it took me out of it for a second, and, like, he's talking about him and Bryan Danielson, they're gonna fight. I'm like, that should have been what you focused on and just went on a podcast and retorted to Triple H. Like, that's it.
Yep.
And, like, the funny part is, like, you're retorting on something that you, like, totally, completely missed. Like, you totally, completely missed because that was really stupid. That was really stupid because, like, you getting angry at him the way you did is you missed a point. He's mad that he missed out on you. So you should have just said something even cooler, like, yeah, like, look at all the five-star matches I had, blah, 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 da-da-da-da-da. You couldn't talk about how cool you was and be like, oh, you were only saying stuff because I didn't want to sign with those guys. You could have said anything, and it would have been way more better, but like, oh, yeah, fucking killed it. Just the wife thing didn't work for me. It didn't work.
Me neither.
So then we had... a Julia Hart promo, and Julia Hart is burning all of these masks and talking about how she's going to beat Willow. I was slightly confused because I'm like, what the hell are these masks? Like, what do they connect to?
I was hoping you would able to tell me. You're asking the question, so like, what the fuck?
Yeah, no, I have no fucking idea. Like, I was lost. I'm like, all right, well, she has mass. Okay, cool. All right. So then we have Shane Taylor Promotions versus Chris Jericho, Shibata, and Hook. So the match is going, and Jericho is basically trying to tell Shibata and Hook what to do because I'm the legend. I know what I'm doing. Guys, look. And then it gets to the point where Shibata's in the ring, and Jericho is, like, trying to coach Hook, and Hook's like, yo, we got to get back in the ring. And he's like, no, you have to listen. And then Shibata loses. And I'm like, okay. Like, and I'm literally still confused because it's like, all right, I know where this is going. Someone's going to be like, no, you're dumb. I'm like, no, I know where this is going. Hook and Jericho are going to explode. But one, I don't want this because, like, I don't fucking like Jericho, and I just think that this is dumb as shit. Like, this is fucking dumb. Like, this whole thing is dumb. Like, how do you feel about
it? They're
this?
Trying to Y2AJ it. I don't like it either. It's stupid. Like, it's really why Jericho and Hook?
I don't know. It's like he wants to be connected to Hook. They already had a match. So, like, all of this makes no sense. Like, they had a match already.
And then you put... Mm-hmm. Then you put fucking Shibata in it, which, in my opinion, he's the true legend in this like team and whatever, and have him get the fall. Like, what the fuck? Like, he caught it straight for no reason. You know what I mean? If you're really gonna do this, you should have had fucking Hook catch the fall, which. She shouldn't do that either. Like, this should not be going on.
To be honest, like, this, it shouldn't even been Shibata. It should have been somebody else. Like, you threw Shibata in there just to lose because this was going to happen either way when they had a third man. They were going to argue and, like, they were going to set up what's coming next. And there was no, like, there was no reason for this. Like, there was no reason for any of this. It's like you did nothing. Like, we all know it's going to be Jericho versus Hook, but this doesn't, like, nobody is benefiting from this. Like, it's really dumb. It's a really dumb story. And, like, I hate it. So then we moved on to the next thing, which was Okada coming out, and he wrestled a local talent. And Okada beat him in like 30 seconds, and then he accepted Pac's challenge. And to me, like, I was like, see, I wanted this match so bad that I just thought the challenge was already accepted. So when he said, I accept the challenge, I was like, wait, you didn't accept the challenge? I was like, God damn it. I was already, like, invested in this match. I'm like, all right, at Dynasty is Pac versus Okada for the Continental title. I was all for it. And then he was like, I accept the challenge. I was like, oh, okay, well, now we're more official. All right, cool, whatever. And
I do you one better. Mm-hmm. I didn't even recall him challenging him. Like, I know it was hinted at, but I never thought he officially challenged him.
No, Pac did officially challenge him. Pac challenged him.
Oh, okay. All right, so I was more lost than you.
Yeah, because, like, I knew that it was happening, and, like, in my mind, I had already put it together. I was like, all right, this is happening. Don't really care how it comes together. It's already done. And then when Okada was like, I accept your challenge, I was like, wait, what? I was like, I thought it was already accepted. I thought it was done. But then Pac came out, and they had a little scuffle. Then the Young Bucks came out, and we got a CM Punk chant. And they just started chanting CM Punk. FTR came out.
See what y'all did?
Yeah, then Bucks came out. I mean, FTR came out. Then everybody started fighting. They did the CM Punk chant. The funny part about this is someone was in the building and they released the footage. When they showed the footage, the backstage footage, everybody was still chanting CM Punk. They were chanting CM Punk. And there was a guy that was next to the person recording goes, man, CM Punk is a badass. And it's like, this accomplished nothing. This literally accomplished nothing. It was so dumb. It was stupid.
It made CM Punk look good. And that's not what you tried to do.
Like, the only comes out of this Everyone has said the same exact thing. The only person that comes out of this looking good is Drew. Drew's the only person that comes out looking good out of this whole entire Bucks thing. Like, it's Drew. Drew's the only person.
Yep.
So then we had Switchblade saying he wants to win the triple challenge champion, whatever. I don't really care. I feel bad for Jay. That's it. Like, I just feel bad for Jay. That's all. I can't say anything other than I feel bad for Jay. And a lot of other people feel bad for Jay, too. But I feel bad for Jay.
He'll get out eventually.
Yes. So then we have the championship champagne celebration, or whatever it is. So Thunder Rosa comes out, and then Tony Storm comes out, and they're supposed to drink champagne, celebrating, getting ready for their match. And Tony opens the bottle. She opens the bottle, and she just throws champagne in Thunder's face and beats the shit out of Thunder, and then wipes off her makeup. And then Deonna Purrazzo comes out to help her. But when Deonna Purrazzo comes out, Thunder almost hits her because she's blinded and she can't see. So, oh, okay. And
then fucking Deonna was like, fuck you. But you clearly heard her say, fuck you. They didn't beep it.
Yes. And then Mariah May comes out. Mariah comes out and Tony gives her a kiss on the cheek. That plays into what I've been saying for the last 2 weeks. She actually even offers her champagne and she's like, I have a match. And she's like, okay. So Deonna Purrazzo goes out and faces Anna Jay. She beats Anna Jay, and then Anna Jay chokes her out with the Queen Slayer after the match. So Mina Shirakawa runs out and she saves Mariah May. She saves her, and then she gives her alcohol and she kisses her. And I saw a lot of people totally just go, oh my God, they're kissing. This is so hot. And it's like, I mean, one, yes, but two, you don't know where the story is going. And I, like, a lot of you not. I haven't seen anybody go, oh, this is where the story is going. It's like, last week, Tony kissed Mariah. Mariah was like, yay! Then Mariah got back with Club Venus member Mina Shirakawa, and they have been close, and now Mina kissed her, and you're like, that doesn't mean anything. That means everything. This is a setup. Like, me, I said this last week. It's going to be Mina versus Tony.
Yeah.
Like, it's right there. Last week. This is going to happen. It's going to happen probably at Double or Nothing, probably Forbidden Door, but this is happening. Like, this is where the setup is going. It's fighting. Both of them are fighting over Mariah. And it's like, yeah, I don't have a problem with any of this.
Like, okay. Nah, it's good.
Yeah, I'm all for this. Like, because Mina can wrestle, Tony can wrestle, Mariah can wrestle. Like, fuck yeah, let's get this shit on. This is great mess. This is a story that's building slowly behind people's backs because people aren't bright enough to see this. And I don't understand that when nobody's just like yelling, this is where they're going. No one's yelling. They're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you don't see this? This is the I don't even know if, like, this is the plan, but this would be really funny if Mariah actually swerves Tony and she's just like, her and Mina just, like, reform Club Venus and bring in the other girls and just beat the shit out of Tony, and she just leaves with, like, I wanted to be like you, but I'd rather be like me. Like, that would be funny. Like, that would be funny.
That would be awesome. Funny part, though, right? Even without you, like, mentioning it, right? Like, telling, like, me, like, there's, like, a backstory behind this and whatever. Mm-hmm. I would kind of see that's where they're going. Like, either Mariah's going to betray Tony or they're going to fight over her somehow. And, yep. You know, I would figure out little by little if there is a backstory to it and whatever. So, as you said, I don't see how nobody sees it. Like, I figured it out, you know?
Right. And it's so bad because, like, I used to love Club Venus because they used to dance and be like the prettiest girls there, and they just used to beat the shit out of everybody in Stardom. And at one point, they had like almost all the belts because like it was so great. Like it was so great, and I loved it. Like I loved it, and I'm glad that they're like kind of continuing it here in AEW because of the Stardom connection.
Yeah.
So then we had something that a lot of people are talking about for one reason or another. And it was a Mercedes Moné backstage thing. I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts on this backstage? Because I have things to say.
I'm going to be honest. I really didn't pay attention to the interview itself. The aftermath, though, I think it's some type of weird setup.
Okay. I'm glad that you think that that's a setup. Okay, I'm glad you think it's a setup because, like, I have a theory, but the story is a lot of people, they don't like the way Mercedes Moné cuts promos or do interviews, which I actually agree. I'm not for this. Like, she talks like she's in WWE. She hasn't, like, found her outside of WWE voice. Like, when she was in New Japan and Stardom, she had, like, she had her own thing because she wasn't feeling, like, robotic and stiff like she is now. Because she felt, like, a little more freer and alive, and she was doing, like, the Sasha Banks thing, but, like, just her way. This was just, like, no, I'm Sasha Banks in WWE, and this is how I'm supposed to do in WWE and for TV. And it's like, no. You should have been the person you was when you were in Japan. Like, this whole different person. You should have been that in Japan. But
yeah,
I'm just not feeling it. And as far as the lights going out and her getting attacked, she, like, it may be a conspiracy, but the first thing I thought of when it happened was, It's Sky Blue. Sky did this.
That, like, because, like, people would automatically think Julia, but, yeah, it could be Sky.
That's what made me laugh when people were like, it's Julia. Julia did it. It's like, no, it wasn't Julia Hart. It was Sky Blue. Because, like, what? Like, so why would Julia Hart do this? And I know how people are like, well, this how it's going to lead into the story because she's going to be mad at Julia and she's going to attack her and she's going to make Willow win a championship. We literally said that last week on the podcast, like without adding this whole mysterious attack thing. We were like, she's going to attack Julia and make Willow win that title so she could beat Willow for the title. That's exactly what we said on the podcast. You like adding this whole, oh, she's attacking her because of this. I guess you could go with that. And like, she does this whole lights out thing. And cause like, I'm going to add your theory to my theory and we're going to go on with a theory. A theory, like okay. You said, this is a conspiracy. She did it herself. So what if she did it herself and blames Julia Hart? And then when she attacks Julia and causes her to belt, she'd be like, yeah, it's because you attacked me. And Julia's like, I never did that. Me or Sky didn't do anything. And then after that, Mercedes go, well, you know what? I faked the whole thing. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Whatever.
The funny part, like, I think that exactly, but I think she would more so blame, Willow, because she has an L for Willow.
Yeah, like, no, I don't think that she's going to blame Willow. I think she's going to fake out blame Sky and Julia. She's going to blame both of them. She's going to fake, like, oh, they did it. And, like, it was a setup, and it was all because they wanted to take me out. And she's going to run with that until she, like, screws over Julia. And Julia can be like, dude, I didn't do anything. She's like, I know. Like, I set this whole thing up because I just hate Willow, and I want to beat her for the championship. Yes, she has the championship now, but she won't have it for long. And it's like, oh, okay, that's all right.
Like, I don't like it, but I'm gonna like the reply though. I know, like you just said.
Yeah,
like, but in that, I don't think I like this.
Yeah, I just want to see her wrestle because like this whole build up talking thing ain't for me. I just want to see her wrestle. Nah.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about what happened when the lights came back on. We're not even going to talk about that. We're just going to move on. So,
hey, Cody, so what do you want to talk about?
We're going to move on. We're going to move on. Because just like Cody, a Samoan named Joe faces the Rhodes in the main event of a show for... Here's the thing. They said it was for the title. Then they was like, no, it's a title eliminator. And it made no sense because they went in there, had a match, Dustin Bleed, and he lost to Samoa Joe. Okay, wow, he lost. And then here comes Swerve. Swerve hits Joe with the chain, and Swerve has the chain, and Swerve gets the title because Nana passes him the title. And it's like, okay, we're building the Swerve and Joe. And it's like, okay. I mean, like I said, I have no problem with this. I just didn't like the whole adding Dustin into it. I was like, okay.
He looks good with the title, though.
Swerve does. Yes, yes, Swerve does.
Yeah.
And hopefully a lot of people's prayers get answered that Swerve wins the title. If they go the other way where they just screw everything up, where Swerve is about to win a title and then Hangman comes back because Hangman hates Swerve so much that he's going to cost him. Like, that, yeah, that's it. So, yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't win it now, win it in the big pay-per-view. You know,
yeah, give time eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I didn't say it, because I forgot if it were like All In or whatever the next one. But yeah, Double Nothing.
Yeah. So, that was that. And now we go over to Monday Night Raw. And once again, they've done it again, which I'm not even mad at them, but like this is a new thing. When I said that they were going to do a new set, this is the plan because this is a problem they have. So they have this new minimal set where it's just like a Titantron at the entranceway, and that's it. That is because they keep selling out so many goddamn times. And from now on, every time they sell out, they have to run this. They literally have a 1,400-seat building that they're running. There's one ticket left for SmackDown. And they have to do this fucking set again. Like, they're going to keep doing this. And, like, this will be for the foreseeable future until they get cold or, like, cool off a little bit. This is what the set is going to be from now on. This little bit of a Titantron, that's it. There's nothing else. It's a good, bad problem, but, like, this is it. That's it.
So I wouldn't mind having that problem if it was me running the company.
Yeah, and, well, speaking of running a company, then Triple H comes out. Paul Levesque himself, he comes out and he starts off Monday Night Raw and welcomes everybody to the new Paul Levesque era or whatever era. He didn't even say his own name, but he said, welcome to this new era. And he was like, so I'm going to present to you the face of the new era. And he brings out Cody. And Cody comes out for the first time with the championship. And he's there. Everybody's saying, you deserve it. Everybody's cheering for about 5 or 10 minutes. And so Triple H goes, listen, I wanted to show this video, but since we don't have Titantrons, we got to watch it on this little TV here. And this is for you. We wanted to do this for you. We set up all night and we put this together for you. So here it goes. And they play this video. And like the funny part is like you see this video at home and you see Cody reacting to the video, but like he's looking at this small ass screen and you're like, that is fucking weird. So, like, they can't help it, though. That's the bad part. They can't help it because they don't have a big-ass Titantron anymore. And so Cody gets a little teary-eyed. Hunter hugs him. He puts the belt down in the ring. He kisses it. And everybody's telling him, you deserve it. And he's happy. He gets Samantha Irvin to, like, re-announce him as a new WWE champion. And he thanks Roman. And the funniest part about that is, like, he thanks Roman, but we didn't find out until Tuesday. Roman posted a video. In the video, like, I swear to God, everybody said the same thing, was like, this feels like this is the end credit scene. This is like the post-credit scene. This is the post-credit scene. Because it's just Roman in the gym. He's walking. And he just looks at the camera and smiles. And the hashtag says, day one begins. And it's like, oh, that's it. Like, we're like this. Like, everybody was like, this is like Thanos. Like, you see Thanos at the end of fucking the Avengers. Like, he's just there. And you know he's coming. And it's like, this dude, like, he looked like a fucking $1 million, and he just walking, and then he just looks up and gives that smile, and it's like, fuck, this is a great post-credit scene. This is one of the best post-credit scenes I've ever seen.
Revenge of the Roman Empire.
Yeah. So, while Cody's talking, The Rock comes out, and The Rock comes out, and he says, I'm not here to attack you. I just want to talk. And The Rock looks at the belt and he says, can I hold your belt? And Cody's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, I'll give you my belt. Well, before that, we had Liberty on the screen and she told Dad to finish the story. And he was happy that he finished the story. And
that was cute.
Yeah. So Rock and Cody swap belts. And The Rock says, his belt looks good on me. And I thought, like, I honestly thought he was going to keep it. And then, like, just attack him. But he gave him the belt, and they switched belts back. The crowd was chanting, this is awkward. I mean, it was. So after that, he was just saying that, you know, I beat you at night one, so I'm deserving of a title shot. I'm going to go away for a little while, but I'm going to come back. And The Rock grabs something out of his pocket. And he gives it to Cody, and he says, you already know what this is. And he puts his hand over Cody's hand, and he gives it to him, and he says, you already know what this is. And Cody's face is, like, scrunching. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this went anger. And then he says to him, don't ever break my heart again. And he leaves. And Cody's just, like, puts whatever he gave him in his pocket. Now, I'm going to ask you what you think this is. I'm going to say with a theory what somebody said. I'm going to say the theory that I think it is. But you go first. What is the theory you think that he gave? What do you think?
I've thought about this. Like, what could it be? Only thing that comes to mind, and I'm second guessing myself, is the lei that Roman wears, the tribal chief lei.
Yes.
He gave him that. That's the only thing I could think of. Like, and I'm second guessing it. Like, I'm telling myself I'm wrong while I'm telling you this. So, okay. But that's the only thing that came to mind.
Okay. So someone said that it's the watch that Dusty had. It was Dusty's watch. And when they said this, I was like, okay, this is a leap in logic. So apparently the person says, well, when Rock came back and he took Cody's spot, he said he wanted to do something nice for Cody, so he brought the watch because that was the watch that Dusty had. And when Cody came out and did this promo, he went in the back and he stole the watch and he gave it back to Cody just then. And he said, don't you ever break my heart again because, like, you stole the main event from me. And I immediately was like, that was a leap in logic. Like, that was a huge leap in logic because we already know he has the watch. Yes, that's fine. He has the watch. We found out from the press conference. This person said that Rock went in there and stole the watch to give it back to him immediately. And I'm like, why?
It's dumb.
Yes, it's very dumb. It's like, why would you say that? And they'd be like, yeah, no, this makes sense. And like, if you do it like this, it's a story. And I was like, no, it doesn't. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like way far off. And he's like, well, The Rock could have been the one that brought the watch. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. Like, they literally said, no, Bruce Pritchard and Triple H and Nick Khan, they all went and got this watch, and they gave it to him. Now you're going to go say The Rock brought it and The Rock gave it to him? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it it doesn't make any sense. And then the person was like, oh, well, you know how the Triple H era, they literally have stories, and like this would be a story. I'm like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. This is like a leap in logic. Like, why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense.
Like, some stories should not be told then. That if that's a story.
Yes, I was like, I would hate that. And then someone said that they gave him the lighter. And the lighter, because remember his bus was on fire, and they gave him the lighter. And I was like, oh, that was a thing. Like, all right. Well,
it's kind of dark.
I mean, it's kind of dark, but it's really weird. So to be honest, I have no idea what this is. Like, I have no idea what this is. Like, I was thinking it could be the Dusty's Hall of Fame ring. It could be that. But I'm stuck on, I feel like there's something that we're missing. And the reason I want to say there's something is missing is because this exact thing happened years ago when Cody wasn't shit. And Cody came in the ring and told The Rock, he was like, let me hold the belt because one day I'm going to be WWE champion. Like, Cody literally said that when The Rock got the brand new belt, the Big W belt, for the very first time. Like, Cody literally said that to The Rock. And I feel like it's something there. Like, it's something that happened. It's something small that happened. What if? Mm-hmm. What if that was Roman's side plate? That was Roman's side plate. And it plays back into this being a championship. What if he gave him Roman's side plate? And the reason he gave him the side plate and said, don't you ever break my heart again? Because he wanted to face Roman for the title and beat him. And now there's no tribal chief. Because Roman has said this multiple times. The tribal chief is the one who has the belt. So when he gave him that side plate, he said, don't you ever break my heart again, which means you screwed me out of everything by taking my match and taking my title. So I'm giving you the side plate to remind you, you took everything from me and I'm going to take it back. I mean, that could make the most sense. Yeah. Like that could be a thing. Cause it's like, yeah, like you have the Roman, the Rock thing. And like that little thing is like, because other than that, I have no idea. And I know people are like, well, it could be this, it could be that. It like you said, it could be the lay from Roman's like thing. It's like, it has to be very small because The Rock gave it to him and Cody put it in his pocket. It has to be very small.
And the only reason I'm like second guessing the lay is because, you know, it's kind of like flimsy. Like it could like slip out your hand. You could see the little bit of red or whatever, you know?
No, that's the thing. He could have gave him a flower.
Someone would have saw it, I think.
No. He could have gave him a flower off of the leg. Like, you could give him a flower off of it and put it in his hand, and he knows exactly what it is.
There you go. Yeah. That. Okay. Now we talking. Good.
Because I feel like whatever this is, it's not going to be like some far-off thing where it's like, okay, we have to do leaps in logic to put this together and like string this whole thing together. It's like, I feel like it's something so simple, but it has so much meaning. Because like I said, if it's anything to do with Roman, it's like, you took this from me. You hurt me. You broke my heart. This is what I wanted to do with my family. You took this from me. And here you go. Yeah. I still feel like there's more to the story of the bloodline because, you know, Jacob Fatu and Tama are signed with WWE. So I feel like it's not over. Like, I feel like it's not over, but I don't know how it's going to play out because, one, Roman is completely gone for a while, and Rock is also completely gone for a while. And I thought this would be the night where Rock introduces the new Samoans, but he didn't. So I'm wondering when and if and how he brings them back.
I was hoping that too, but I also was hoping, going back to something you said earlier, mm-hmm. when they switch belts, like mm-hmm. Rock would actually take the belt, and that's when we get introduced to the new belt. Be like, okay, you can keep it because I got this one. You know, like next week or something. Like he'll have like his brand new belt, which I hope they do eventually.
So somebody said the belt wasn't ready for Monday, and I'm not ruling out the belt being there Friday for SmackDown. I'm not ruling out it being there for SmackDown, but I have a feeling it's not going to be too far off. It's going to be very soon. But, like, see, here's the thing. This is just me being me. Mm-hmm. I will wait for the draft. Like, because as soon as the day that they say, hey, this is a draft, I'll be like, all right, well, here, everybody switching skills. Here's new belts. Okay, cool.
Here's that is belt. True. That makes sense. Yeah, I didn't think about that either.
Because like,
because right not... now, like he's the Universal Champion, but he's basically the SmackDown World Champion, right?
Yes.
So they could easily put him on Raw.
Yes.
Give him that belt.
Like, no, he's going to keep whatever belt he gets. He's getting the WWE title, but whatever it looks like, yeah. they're gonna swap it. Cause like yeah, I feel like whoever the general manager is gonna be like, listen, that belt is like from an old era. Here's the new belt for the new era. I'm like, okay. So
Paul Levesque era.
So then we have Nakamura come out. Nakamura comes out and he faces Ilya Dragunov, the Mad Dragon. So everybody is immediately going, oh, he's getting called up. And they said, like, he can get called up with the draft, which we even said that he will be getting called up weeks ago. We're like, yeah, Ilya Dragunov is on the short list to get called up. Dragunov mm-hmm. beat Nakamura. Now, this is the funny part. Everybody completely just was like, boom, this means nothing. Everybody's like, this means nothing. He beat Nakamura, oh, well. And I'm just like, oh, I see exactly what's happening. And everybody else is like, no, 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 it means nothing. I'm like, no, 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 you don't see what's happening. Because the draft, not everybody just goes, oh, NXT people comes up. Main roster people also go down. So
yep.
Nakamura going back down to NXT, winning the NXT title, or just challenging the NXT champion. Yeah, this isn't over. This wasn't just happening by accident. This was by design. There's more to the story. Like, so yeah.
I could definitely see Nakamura going back to NXT.
Yes. So yeah, just prepare for that. Because that's a
thing. Yeah.
And I am 100% for that because it's like, it makes sense because Nakamura is like kind of getting not used up here, and like for him to go down there and have fun, like he doesn't even have to be far away from his house. He lives in Florida. He's like, oh yeah, it's cool.
I'm good. And going back does wonders in your career. Look what it did for Baron Corbin. Like, he's having the best time of his life, in my opinion. There, like, he's done his best work in NXT right now. This run, Baron Corbin.
Yeah. So then imagine Judgment Day come out, and the Judgment Day comes out. And they're doing their thing, and they're hyping up their champions, and Rhea Ripley comes out, and she's hype. And then we get Damian Priest, the world champion, coming out for the very first time as a world champion. Yeah. I am not sure why the hell he was wearing red and everybody else was wearing black, but okay. It's not. It just didn't work for me. It's very weird. And so they're holding up their champions, and R-Truth just comes up right behind them and holds up their champion, and they look, and it was like, the fuck? They were like, Truth, you are not in here. And Truth was like, yeah, I wanted to talk about bringing somebody in the Judgment Day. And Miz comes up and was like, dude, I don't want to be in the Judgment Day. And they set up a match, and they go for a three-way. And, I mean, not a three-way, a triple threat. Six-man. Fuck. Six-person.
Six-man. There you go.
Yeah. So they're doing this whole thing, and Miz goes, Truth, who's our partner? He was like, yeah, he's like, I can't see our partner. He was like, yeah, you can't see him. And like, immediately as soon as he said you can't see him, I'm like, it's John Cena. And then they go,
yeah.
Oh, they was like, oh, it's Little Jimmy. I was like, no, it's John Cena. And they immediately switched it away. Like, they kept saying it was Little Jimmy, and they kept sticking it in your head to just fuck with you. Like, it's Jimmy. It's Little Jimmy. It's Little Jimmy. And I'm just like, if anybody's sitting here not knowing there's going to be John Cena, you're not right in the head. And like, it made me mad that people were like, oh, it's Little Jimmy. And then John Cena comes out and they have the 6-man match. John Cena, Truth, Miz, they all win. Good shit.
It was.
Yeah, I think right now this is the last time we're going to see John Cena for a while, probably. I don't see him coming back. I think he got like other business duties that he have to fulfill, but you know, it is what it is. Like, not mad at that at all.
You think we'll see him next WrestleMania then?
Oh, of course. I feel like because he keeps joking about, I've got one more WrestleMania in me. I've got one more WrestleMania. And I feel like the next WrestleMania is going to be his last, where he goes, I'm done. He's going to have this last WrestleMania. He's going to be done. Then he's going in the Hall of Fame the year after.
Yeah.
Because he keeps saying it like, yeah, I got one more in me. I'm like, okay, cool.
You said that in the back of my mind. For some odd reason, I thought he already was in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why.
He feels like he should be. He does.
Right?
So then we have a backstage thing. And I literally tweeted this out the moment it happened, before it happened at WrestleMania weekend. When Rhea Ripley won, I said, oh, so Liv Morgan is taking the title from her later on this year. And Rhea and Dom are walking backstage, and Liv just throws a fucking chair at Rhea, fucks her up, and then beats the dog shit out of her. Just beats her ass. Beats her fucking ass so bad. And then Dom came in, and Dom just basically helped her up. But Dom grabbed the camera and pushes the camera, and the camera just goes out into the arena. Like, it was the coolest shit ever. Like,
that was a nice transition, yeah.
Yeah, WWE, these fucking transitions, holy shit. Like, they just move the camera, and the camera goes all the way out to the ring where Indy Hartwell is in the ring, and she's in the ring with Candice because Indy's about to have a match. And it's like, hold up, like, this was all one shot, and Indy has a match against Roxy. And yes, people, Roxy, the NXT Women's Champion, came to the main roster. And it was funny because Candice is trying to get Indy to cheat. And Indy just like says no. Like, she's like, no, no, no. And she turns back around and Roxy fucking cheats and wins. Like, that's funny.
And then Candice says something to pick up. See? Told you. Something like that.
Yep, and Indy's gonna turn heel, and then she's gonna wind up. It's gonna wind up being fun because she's gonna turn heel. They're gonna turn on each other. It's gonna be funny, and yeah. So,
yeah.
Sammy was on his way out. He sees Jey Uso. Sammy has a shirt. Yo, Khadijah, I did it, which is like a Rocky reference. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, like I said, I love Sammy. I just didn't think that the IC title should go on Sammy. It could have went on somebody else. It was a great moment. Like, I can admit when I was wrong, but I just still think it should have went on somebody else. And then we had the most internet thing that I've ever seen, because Roxy's walking backstage, and all you see is something just go into frame, and then you see Natty. You're like, oh. And she confronts Roxy and says, Roxy, I'm going to beat your ass one day. Blah, 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 blah. And Roxy, I lie to you not, Roxy just was every internet person, and like every normal human was like, she just was looking. And then she was like, oh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, whatever. And the funny part was like, she says, yeah, whatever, looks Natty in the eyes and looks right back. And then leaves. I'm like, okay, well, all right. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I didn't think anything of it.
Oh no, everybody did. You couldn't miss it. And even Natty was the bad part. Was like even Natty was like, yeah, no, they exist. So like, no, I understand, Natty. I understand. So Sammy's coming out to cut a promo, and then Imperium comes out, and it's them, and they're ready to beat his ass. And then Chad Gable's like, no, I'm not going to let you beat my homie's ass. So it's Chad and Sammy versus Imperium. And they had a good match, and Sammy tagged in Chad and let Chad get the pin. So Chad beats Imperium, which sets up something funny for later on. And I actually like the way they did it, because it was funny, because it was just dumb. So
same.
They go in the back, and it's Chad and Sammy talking. And they're talking, and Chad's like, yo, you're going to give me what you want, what I want? And he's like, Sammy's like, dude, I already let you get the win. He's like, I let you get the win. He was like, so yeah, I paid back the favor. And Chad was like, dude, what? He's like, no, I'm just fucking with you. No, I know what you want. I'll give you a title shot next week in my hometown. I'm like, oh. And as soon as he said, in my hometown, I'm going to give you a title shot, I'm like, oh, I know exactly where this is going. And Chad's going to turn heel on you. Like, you're going to beat him. He's going to turn heel on you next week. And now you're going to start a feud. Got it.
Chad almost got mad at that shit, though.
I would have, too. Like, I would have been like, nah, fuck you, man. I hate you. So then they did this thing where they showed Sheamus. So Sheamus is coming back finally after 900 years of being gone.
And old school Sheamus too.
I don't know about that. I don't know. So we got Andrade. And Andrade comes in and he's talking to all of the general managers, including Pebble, who's there. And a lot of people, the funny part was a lot of people didn't even get this, was like, this is the first time she was on a show with her dad. And like, they didn't even acknowledge each other, but this is the first time she was on a show with her dad. Like, he was there and she was there. And she's like, she's the general manager at NXT, and she's like, yeah, like, I'm just trying to learn, so I'm here with the two big guys. And then Chelsea Green comes in, and Chelsea Green is like, hey, I want to do something, and I didn't get my WrestleMania moment. Where's my moment? Blah, blah, blah. And Adam Pearce was like, yo, I got an idea for you. I got something for you. You go out to the ring. I promise you'll have your moment tonight. I promise. And she's like, yeah, I better. And she went out to the ring. And immediately, as soon as she went out to the ring, I was like, I know exactly what's happening. She's going to die.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Like, I even knew who she was going to face, so I was like, yeah, she's going to die. So Chelsea Green goes to the ring, and then all of a sudden, the storm comes in, because here goes Jade Cargill. And Jade comes in, and Jade beats Chelsea Green in 30 seconds. Not even 30 seconds, probably like 10 seconds. Just booted her, hits her with the Jaded, 1, 2, 3, it's over. I was like, God damn. I mean, it's good. Like, it needed to happen, sure.
Yeah. How did you feel that the match went so quick, though? Because a lot of people seem to have a problem with it. I did.
I swear to God, everybody who says they have a fucking problem with it are fucking idiots. They're fucking idiots. This was designed as a squash match. This wasn't designed as a fucking classic. This was a squash match to get Jade over as the most dominant force in WWE. If you're bitching and complaining about that, that makes no sense. Chelsea Green, even she admitted like this was like a great moment for her, because she went in there and made somebody look like a fucking star. She looks like a star because like she came in there and had the energy of her being a star. Like, somebody was like, this is her WrestleMania moment. Like, even though she wasn't on WrestleMania, this was her WrestleMania moment. Dude, like, anybody that's complaining is really dumb. Like, the women don't have any time. It's like, brother or sister or Indy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, this is all part of the building up Jade story. Relax.
Yes.
Like, Roxy and Indy had, like, a nice, decent, long match. It's like, is you keep saying, oh, the women are getting shafted, the women are getting shafted. Listen, if you don't like the way the women are booked on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, go to NXT, because there's a shitload of women's matches there, and I swear to God, is there some of the best shit that you'll ever see. So it's like, if that's your problem, then just go there. That's it. That's all I can say. So then we get Drew McIntyre, who was pissed off at Punk. He is mad. He lost his title because he took his eye off the ball, and he's in this four-way, and the winner gets the world championship shot at Damian Priest. I think it's at Backlash, and the person who won this, I was like, I was not mad at, but I didn't see that coming. Like, I didn't see that coming, but, like, yeah. So, it's at the end. It's at the very, very fucking end. Drew is about to Claymore kick the living shit out of Jey Uso. And Drew does a 3-2. But he goes to go for the kick, and he can't move. And he's like, what the fuck? And you look down, and it's CM Punk. And Punk is holding his foot. And then Jey Uso hits the super kick, the splash, 1-2-3. Jey Uso is taking on Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. And I just didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming.
Me neither. I thought it was going to be Drew versus Damian.
The funny part is I didn't even see Drew winning this. I thought it was going to be Bronson Reed for some reason. Because, like, Bronson Reed, he got in this match because he won the Andre Battle Royal. He got in this match. So that's why Bronson Reed was put in this match. He's like, yeah, Bronson Reed won the Battle Royal. That's why he didn't have to do anything to qualify to get in this match. Everybody else is like, that was it. I was like, that makes sense. I like that. They actually was like, no, this makes sense.
Okay, so they made it important, like the Andre Giant Battle Royal for once.
Yeah, that's what popped me, because like they was like, yeah, Bronson Reed is in this because he won the Battle Royal. I was like, oh shit, they actually make the Battle Royal mean something. Like, this is great. Like, this is great. So that was Raw. Now we go on to NXT. And NXT, I lied to you not, I was happy because I feel like for once in our lives, we have NXT back to being NXT. It's not the shit that we thought. It's back to being NXT. It's back to being the NXT we love. And it's because we get storylines that make fucking sense. It's stories that's in this. So I have to bring this up because this was like one of the best, funniest things from NXT that didn't happen on NXT, that happened outside of NXT. And this was the best thing. So Julia goes back to Japan. Julia goes back to Japan, and there are reporters, photographers, all these people, soon as she steps off the plane, and they're flicking it up, and she's like, yo, I've never seen this before. She was like, I can't believe people are here just, like, taking pictures. They're all taking pictures, like, asking her, and Tokyo Sports just, like, goes right into it. It was like, yo, look, can we get an interview? Yo, what happened at NXT? And she's like, dog, I'm not even going to lie to you. I had no idea I was on camera. She was like, I had no idea I was on camera. She was like, when I was on camera and they showed me, I had no clue. She was like, I had no clue that I was on camera. She was like, I didn't even know that I was on camera until I looked up. She was like, I didn't know why people were cheering. And she was like, when I looked up, I found out that it was me that they were cheering for. She was like, I didn't know what was going on. She was like, I wish I could do this moment over. She was like, it was a huge moment, and I wish I could do it over. I didn't know it was for me. She was like, it's just me. She was like, I didn't know people were cheering for me. And I was like, it was like, that was so amazing that she had no fucking idea it was for her. And she was like, yeah, it fucked me up. I was like, I didn't know. It was so good.
My opinion, that makes it better.
Oh, it makes it like a million times better. Cause like her not knowing and just being like super shocked and surprised that people know her and she was on camera. That makes it way better. That makes it so much better.
Yeah.
So here's my theory with Julia. She's coming in soon, but here's my theory. I feel like she's going to be the first North American champion, women's champion. I have a feeling.
Okay.
Because remember, that's a new belt that they just created for NXT, which I hate. Not because it's a women's title. I hate because we got so many fucking titles already, and we don't need another title. We don't need this. So, yeah. So, then we get Roxy. She comes out, and she's talking about, yeah, I'm the champion. I deserve it. Blah, 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 blah. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever. And then Natty comes out, and Natty challenges for the championship. And I'm like, I'm not even going to lie. When Natty challenged her, I'm like, didn't you guys set this up last night? So, like, why are you challenging her now? Well, Natty challenged her after Lyra Valkyria came out and Tatum Paxley beat her ass. And people are like, yeah, I'm glad that that happened. And I'm like, yeah. And it's because Tatum is mad at her for losing, and Tatum's mad at her for being, like, not good anymore. Like, she's not a good guy. So, yeah. I understand.
Because the funniest part, like, I'm good now. And Tatum was like, are you? So it's exactly what you said. Like, he's not good. Tatum sees it.
Exactly. Because the way that she came out, she wanted to beat the shit out of Roxy. And it's like, nah, that's not what my Lyra would do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So then we get Too Fast and Too Furious. And they get a title shot later on. But they said, yo, if we lose, we break up. And it's like, okay, cool. So they show commentary. And behind the commentary, Sumi Sakai is in the front row. And Sumi Sakai wrestles in Ring of Honor. She's a vet. She's been doing this forever. Most of the time when Japanese women come over, she's like the first person to help them. She's been in Ring of Honor. I don't know if she's doing anything with WWE. I think she was just in Florida. And she's just like, yo, I'm here. And that was a thing. So then we get a Chase U segment, and I nutted for this. I mean, not in a way, I mean, even though JC was there, not that way, but the other way, the normal way, you know, because
the normal way?
Yeah, there's a normal way. There's a normal way. The wrestling way. Yes, that's it. Because
okay.
They're in there, they're giving out awards to Fallon Henley and Kiana James, honorary awards. And then JC comes in and they're like, JC, get out of here. And JC's like, no, I'm not. She's like, did he ever tell you? And Thea's like, what? Like, did he ever tell you why Chase U was in debt? And Chase's like, no. He's like, leave. He's like, oh, so he didn't tell you. He's like, he didn't tell you. It's all your fault. And Thea's like, what do you mean it's my fault? She's like, oh, you remember that match that you had for the NXT Women's Champion? She's like, yeah, well, the one he threw the towel in? He's like, dude, listen, don't tell her. She's like, no. Mr. Chase bet all his money on you, so when you lost, you bankrupt the school. This is your fault. And at that moment, me and Renegade both said, oh my God, long-term storytelling. It was so good.
Dude. I was like, we got a payoff.
Dude, we fucking got it. It fucking made, like, this made, I didn't give a shit what happened in NXT for the rest of the night. We got a payoff to something from a long time ago. Yes, I am so happy. I'm so happy.
I take back the whole fact that I didn't like her turning back into a heel. Now it's better.
Mm-hmm. This whole thing. And the whole, like, even JC pointed out, the whole time you were mad at them and being a little snotty little brat, it was all your fault. You should apologize. And Thea got up and ran off. I was like, oh my God, this is so good. This is so good.
They still haven't had a one-on-one match, right?
Nope, they haven't. And
okay,
from this match, the next match that happens, it's like, okay, they're going to have their one-on-one because Fallon Henley and Kiana James took on Izzy Dame and Wait. Kalani Jordan. Kiana James was on the other side. God damn it. Kiana James and Izzy Dane versus Kalani Jordan and Fallon Henley. I get those two mixed up because they're both K names. It's like, damn it.
Yeah. Fucked up.
So they had the match, and because they had this match, I'm like, all right, we're going to get Thea versus JC eventually. I don't know if it's going to be next week, but we're going to get it eventually. But we need that payoff. Like, we need that payoff. Because, like, it's so perfect. Like, we get the fucking finish, and we get, like, we find out why we're all caught up. It's a story. The stuff that he had on this show, Sean is like, yeah, you deserve to be Booker of the Year. Like, you deserve it. Because Kiana James and Izzy Dame, they won. They beat Fallon Henley. And they moved on. And I'm okay with that. So, yeah. So, they showed Javonte Davis, who is the new superstar. And he's going to take on Scripps in a match. Now, Javonte Davis was on the Indies. I forgot his Indies name. Dude's only 19. He's only fucking 19. Just to point that out. He's only 19. So, like, if anybody has anything to say, and I don't mean bad, I mean anything to say that's good, you have to remember, he's only 19. Which means he has a long time to get even better. So if you have anything to say, like, he's good, there's a problem there because this is just the beginning. So then we have the No Quarter Catch crew minus Drew Gulak. They're in the back. And so Damian Kemp is talking to Charlie Dempsey, and he's like, so how was the Bloodsport thing? Yes, they mentioned Bloodsport on NXT. And he was like, yo, it was great. He was like, the guy even hit me hard. And like, this was awesome. He was like, but I tapped him out. The funny part, his opponent was on Twitter and he was watching it. But his opponent was watching it the WWE style, where like the TV is in front and he just like has his body halfway turned looking at it. And then he just like takes off his glasses and he's mad. And everybody was like, dude, you're halfway there to be a WWE superstar. Like, you can watch the TV like them. I was cracking up.
Wow.
The funny part is, dude is not, like, he's a wrestler, but he wasn't even mad. He was just, like, happy that they got a shout out. And he's like, yeah, he was like, I have no problem. And then GCW. Yeah. And then GCW and fucking Bloodsport was like, Charlie was like, yo, anytime you want to come back, you can come back. And I'm like, okay, so now we're going to GCW. We're just going to do GCW, WWE. Okay, well, okay. That's a thing.
I don't know it.
Yeah, and what Nick Khan said over the weekend, it makes me go, okay, well, now everything is fucking awesome. Because Nick Khan was like, yeah, listen, we're not just going to act like nothing else exists, we're actually going to let people go to other companies. Like, we're willing to work with other companies. We don't have a problem with that. Like, if other companies are open to work with us, we're open to work with them. And it's like, okay, dude, like, I smell a lot of things on the horizon. So.
You smell what Nick Khan is cooking?
Yeah, since him and The Rock are supposedly friends since they were younger, yeah, I smell exactly what he's cooking. And if there is any smoke to any fire that I've heard about some things, it could be something that happens that everybody be like, wait, what the fuck? Like, that happened? Because, like, there's some smoke to some fire on AEW side, because something happening over there, and I'm not gonna, because I don't have the full confirmation of everything, but like from the stuff that I heard and the rumors, that one of the relationships over there is looking a little bit not happy, even though somebody was like, no, it is, it's definitely great over here. Like, when somebody was like, yeah, it's definitely great, and I was like, no, because I've heard other things, but okay. And they're like, no, I have inside knowledge because I'm actually here and I work for both companies. And I'm like, yeah, but still, you also just got a bigger job from one of those companies. Okay, moving on. I mean, you never know, because like by the end of the year, you can see somebody go somewhere across seas, something, Babylon, whatever. Just, you never know. So Javonte Evans did all of this cool shit and he beat Scripps. So what are your thoughts on Javonte Evans? Is he worth your standards? Is he good? Is the young OG a young OG? I don't know.
I was about to ask you, is that his catchphrase?
Yes, he's a young OG, but like the rest of it, it was like, yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, he's perfectly my style and all that, right? But as mm-hmm. you said, he's young, he needs to grow, right? Mm-hmm. Nick, I better say Nick, but Vic Joseph said a word and I remembered it, right? He's mm-hmm. bouncy. Now, mm-hmm. to me, he's a little bit too bouncy because it was like a lot of moves where like he barely touched the guy. It beautiful mm-hmm. moves, but he barely touched the guy. And like, it looked like he missed. I don't know if it was like Scripps fault or whatever, mm-hmm. but like, I didn't like that. So he has to grow into that. Maybe like calm it down a little bit. Other than that, he's fine. Like his backstage segment, I like the guy. Like he has an aura behind him.
Yes. He's going to be something.
Yes. Yes.
So then we had Ridge Holland. And it was earlier in the day, and he's talking to Kelly Kincaid. And then all of a sudden, Joe Gacy comes up and goes, I accept your apology. It's okay, Ridge. And Ridge gets mad, and LWO is like, dude, what's up with you hurting people? And he goes to leave, and he winds up slamming Cruz del Toro's hand in the door. And I was like, so we're back to square one with this guy. Like, so he's just the injurer again. Is that it? I'm so confused.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't uh-huh. he retire like a few weeks ago?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Go home, Ridge. Go home. I don't care about this story. Go home. Fuck off. As my girlfriend would say, fuck off.
it's so funny because like this was like the only bad spot on NXT was like this shitty yes. ass gimmick coming back. I was like, yeah, this is dumb.
So, I hated it. It pissed me off.
Yeah.
Normally, so you're the pissed off one on here. Mm-hmm. It pissed me off.
Yes. So then we had Roxy versus Natalia. And this ended with, like, Lola Vice, like, helping Roxy win because she, like, caused Natty to get back in the ring and Natty got confused and then she got beat up. I feel like her and Lola Vice need to have, like, a submission match. Lola Vice and Natty need to have a submission match. Because, like, their first match, Natty beat Lola, and Lola's been doing everything she can to, like, get back at Natty.
Or, like, an MMA-style type match. Because that's Lola's, like, whole background.
Or...
But submissions are implemented in that, too.
Wait, or a dungeon match.
Ding, ding, ding. There you go.
Yeah, because Natty's from the dungeon, and we can have that. And Natty beat the shit out of her after the match, too. So. Then we had the No Quarter Catch crew, No Drew Gulak crew. They lost to the family. I was like, okay. I guess they're going in a rebuilding phase? Or, like, they're going to go defend the Heritage Cup? I guess.
I guess.
So then we had Obafemi come out, and Josh Briggs apparently hurt his ribs or his hand or something. And so he's not there. And then Oba's out, and then once again, I wrestling nutted because he's out talking, and here comes Ivar. And Ivar is like, I want to challenge you for the North American Championship. And I just was like, yes, yes, just give me all of this. I don't want nothing else, but holy shit. Like,
that was not on my bingo card, as you would say.
This wasn't, but I was so happy that it just popped up on my bingo card, because, like, holy shit, this is great. Like, Oba versus Ivar. Ooh. Ooh. And they had, like, a little exchange. It is like, ooh, I want this so bad.
It's going to be a fucking awesome match.
Mm-hmm. So then we had Metaphor in the back. And they're all happy except for Oral Mensa. Oral is angry at Noam Dar. And I kind of see them breaking up. And then Dijak comes in, and he wants to face Noam Dar. But I feel like they're going to break up.
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, there was kind of a weird exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably 100% break up.
Yep. So then once again, Miss Parker goes viral because Jada Parker wrestles Brynlee Reese and she finishes with a hip attack in the middle of the ring and she went viral. Not because of the hip attack, she just went viral because she's her. This is the second time, but this is the second time she went viral. Like, she literally did nothing. Like, she didn't do, like, no spectacular ass move. She just walked out looking like her, and she went viral. And everybody's like, who is that? I need to watch wrestling. I have to watch wrestling. I'm like, oh, wow. So, yeah, and speaking of that in the internet, like, so there's a singer that I follow, that I've been following, like, his whole career, and he's part of the Joe Buttons podcast, and they have, like, they got back into wrestling because of The Rock. So he tweeted out earlier today, and this was a testament to something that we was talking about earlier. He said, dude, I got back into wrestling, and I gave everything a chance. I'm no longer getting back into wrestling. I mean, I'm going to still keep watching wrestling. I'm going to keep watching WWE. I'm not watching that other product. That thing is messy. And I was like, oh, God. Like, and this is, like I said, this is a person who just, like, got into wrestling because of The Rock. He saw The Rock and also because some of the ladies, too. That's why I brought this up, because right at the Jada Parker match, he got into wrestling because he was like, oh, there's hot ladies, there's stories, and The Rock's here. And then he was like, yo, I'm going to watch the other show. He watched AEW, saw how messy that was, and was like, yeah, you know what? I'm out. And you lost the fan. So that's the thing.
I probably lost quite a few fans. Like, I heard somebody watch the fucking footage, immediately turn it off right after that.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of people. Because the funny part is, like, usually when somebody says something like that, it was like, no, you should give it another try. It literally was just, like, regular fans and, like, some AEW fans, like, nah, fam, like, yeah, you're right for that, because I'm not watching that either. It's like, God damn, like, I don't know what happened, but, like, it was weird. So,
yeah,
Jada Parker won, and then we had Ariana Grace in the back, and she's in the back with Sol Ruka. And Sol's, like, trying to talk to her and, like, get her to, like, why are you doing this to Gianna? Whatever. And so Sol is talking to her, and then Ariana leaves, and Lola Vice comes in, and Sol is trying to calm her down. And she's like, listen, dude, you got a little chill. And she's more of her boyfriend. And I don't mean to put out their relationship, but she's more of her boyfriend, because she literally just, like, sounded just like Tyler Bate. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, she completely sounded like a Tyler Bate thing where he's, like, doing his old Zen thing, trying to calm you down. Like, yeah, that's kind of, like, I don't like that. And it's not like I don't like it because they're together. It's just, I don't like it because I don't like the calm stuff. Like, the calm stuff is, like, it bothers me. It bothers me for some reason. I don't know.
You want violence.
Yes, I do. I crave violence. And that's what we got in this title match. We got Too Fast, Too Furious versus the War Dogs. And
ooh, good one.
This match was really good. This match was better than their match at Stand and Deliver. And their match at Stand and Deliver was really good. It was like, this was better. And Too Fast, Too Furious won the tag titles. So I saw some people actually complaining about this because they're like, they should have won it at Stand and Deliver. How do you feel about that?
No, like it, I had a problem with them winning, like, period, because I love the fucking Wolf Dogs, assholes, as we call them. But after, like, reflecting, this was, like, perfect. So, no, I disagree with it should have been done at Stand and Deliver. It's fine the way it is.
So, then after that, we had the War Dogs, and they were talking, and they basically said, yo, this is it for me. Bron Breakker was like, yeah, this is it for me. I'm going up to one of the shows. This is it. I'm finally called up. This is over. Thank you, NXT. And Bartender was like, yeah, yo, I'm going with you, too. It was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you're going back up. All right. So I don't know if they're going to stick together as a team or they're just going to go their separate ways. But I know that they're both back up.
I hope they keep them together.
They probably will. They probably will because, like, the new tag champs need somebody to whoop their ass. But speaking of new tag team champs getting their asses whooped, Too Fast, Too Furious got beat up by the Final Testament. That was also...
Didn't see that kind of...
that also was not on my bingo card. Like, the fuck is going on here? So... then we get the last match, and it's Trick Williams, and he comes out and says, yo, I whooped that trick finally. Now I can move on, and I'm happy that I could go for the world championship. And he calls out Ilya Dragunov, and he's like, I want a championship shot. And Ilya Dragunov says, no. And everybody's like, what the fuck? Why? He was like, I don't know. He was like, I just don't want you to have a title shot. No. I was like, what? I'm so confused. But then what even confused me even more, he turns right around and goes, you know what? Fuck it. Trick, you can have a title match instead at Spring Break. It's like, well, why did he say no the first time?
Why did he say no the first time? Like, I'm trying to figure that out.
I don't know. It was so random. He's like, no. And then he just goes, all right, in 2 weeks. What? And then Melo attacks Trick and says, next week it's going to be me and you in the steel cage. You're not even going to make it to your title match. And I'm like, okay, but why did Ilya Dragunov say no? I'm confused.
Like, yeah, why? That was mind-boggling.
Yeah, there was no rhyme or reason. Like, he said, like, you don't deserve it. And then, like, you turned right around and said you deserve it. And it's like, there was nothing that changed in those 5 seconds that you, like, nothing happened. You're like, you know what? Fuck it, you deserve it. Then why'd you say no, man? It didn't make any sense.
If only, like, he, like, put a little thing in there, like, I'm joking, you deserve it, bro. Because they seem like to be friends, so.
Like, if he would have said that, I would have been like, all right, yeah, you know what? I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was weird, and that was the end of NXT. Like, this show was, like, way better than, like, regular NXT that just comes on every week that kind of sucks. This one was like, oh, this doesn't all the way suck? Like, we had good matches, good story. Yeah, like, this doesn't all the way suck.
Yeah, hopefully continues.
Yeah, like, because Sean really, like, he dropped the ball at one point where we were like, Now it's like, you know what? It's back to where it used to be. He dropped the ball. He picked the ball back up. Now he just run with it, Sean. Just run with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was a week. Because it was more news for no reason. It wasn't even for a good reason. For no fucking reason, it was more news. And now we're here. We're here at the very end. Oh, shit. So, anything else?
Great wrestling the whole fucking week. That's all I got to say. I hope it continues. Continue momentum.
No, it's great wrestling and no more fucking bullshit, AEW. Jesus Christ.
Thank you.